Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. For the next hour, we'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Very excited that in today's show, we are going to talk to top boxing lightweight contender George Ferocious Kambosos. I got a chance to speak with George this week from his home in Australia, which was pretty cool. It was interesting talking to somebody from the future because they are way ahead of us, and it is not easy trying to figure out the dynamic between Miami time and Sydney time. But we did get a chance to talk to George, who, you know, really had an interesting story because I don't want to use the term flee, but he had to get the hell out of South Florida with his family as the COVID-19 pandemic was going down, and George was getting ready for the biggest fight of his life as he was going to fight Lee Selby, scheduled on May 9th. And instead, it turned out to be postponed, as many sporting events are, and will continue to be a big theme of this show. And not only that, had to get across the world, find a way to get home across the world to Australia, you know, with his young son and daughter and his partner to try and find their way back home in Sydney, and all this while, you know, preparing for the biggest fight of his life. So very, very excited to talk to George. We will get a chance to speak with him later on the show. It's actually been making waves some week as this week as the lightweight division. There's been some drama between Vasily Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez whether or not that fight's going to happen. Lopez happened to mention Kambosos as a possible opponent, so he may be fast-tracked. Maybe it's possible that if the Selby fight gets scrapped and maybe he just goes and fights for the IBF championship right away, which would be really cool for him. He's number three right now. And Lee Selby's number four, but essentially they're one and two because there is no one or two spot in the IBF rankings, which is kind of weird. But either way, he's the top dog there. He's ranked five by the WBO, which is one of Lomachenko's belts. So he's waiting in the wings. And, you know, this is a guy that we spoke to just under 12 months ago. We spoke to him at Javier Santana's Sweatbox Gym in Davie. Maybe you guys see where Udonis Haslam trains. It's that gym, but it's upstairs. So they've obviously been closed lately. It's been a challenging for a lot of fighters during all of this, and we really don't have a real clear picture even still with boxing as to when we're going to get back to business. But we'll get back to George's story in just a little bit. This week in As the UFC Turns, Dana White, he's now in refocus mode after last week. We have discussed the UFC 249 pandemic up the wazoo. It's been all over the place. I'm even confused as to what this new date's going to be. Is it UFC 249 or 250? I think they're still referring to it as UFC 249, even though typically when something just goes awry, they like kind of just vacate the number and move on. But the big news this week, so a lot of things were interesting in our state here in Florida. which is not surprising. We're a hot mess of a state. We have beautiful weather. We live in paradise, but we have the craziest mother bleepers, and our government's a bit of a circus. And so this week became interesting starting on Monday because Florida, and you can't make this up, deemed World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, as an essential business. That's right. It put it up there with the groceries and medical care and restaurants and all that stuff. The WWE, the show must go on. And I got it. It was funny that I remember this distinctly because I got a message on my phone from my boxing promoter that I've dealt with. Not a promoter, a publicist that I've dealt with. And he said, check out the wording on this. And it was interesting enough because it said something to the effect of all sporting events, production people, and participants is now deemed an essential business so long as there are not fans in attendance and it is kept to essential personnel. And if you read that, you almost would think they're not even talking about wrestling. They actually are talking about sports. But the way it was worded is basically telling you that all sports, as long as there are no fans in the state of Florida, is now deemed an essential business. Therefore, we're kind of a loophole state. Now, I told you we've kind of followed the Florida thing down here in its own right with the news of the UFC, because when all this Khabib versus Tony stuff was going down, it was still up in the air as to where was the fight going to happen, where was the mystery location. It ended up the initial idea was going to be put on the West Coast, but Florida at a time was the favored location to host the fight. And I thought that was crazy talk because, look, I mean, I know all the local fights down here. Guys are shutting down fights at Gulfstream Park, the Miccosukee. They're not allowed to be putting on events. So why would a big conglomeration like the UFC want to have that kind of a headache if Florida is not even allowing the small shows? There was one show that was allowed to go on in Jacksonville, with certain parameters that went down, no fans in attendance and all that. But for the most part, it's been quiet like everybody else. But it has felt in the background as the weeks, interestingly enough, as the weeks have gone on, it seemed like the more likely a Florida fight was going to happen. So now we're at this spot where as soon as we get wind that Florida is open for business, surprisingly or unsurprisingly enough, Dana White converses with Brett Okamoto of ESPN and says, our new target date is May 9th. We're back in business. And it wasn't all that Fight Island nonsense, which he was talking about, where, you know, they're going to do a Mortal Kombat in the Caribbean or nothing like that. Just says it's going to be a domestic fight, and they're scheduling it for May 9th. And if you don't remember what happened as far as the UFC was concerned, their last bout was squashed by Disney. But the big reason it was squashed by Disney was from pressure from the Californian government. And their governor, Gavin Newsom, who told Disney, please shut this down, because he really didn't have any jurisdiction over the reservation lands at the Taachi Palace where it was going to take place in California. It was on native ground, so they couldn't do anything about it. So that was kind of the last card. Now, you know, Dana was adamant that they're going to be the first team back, that they're going to be the first sport back, rather. And with all this WWE stuff that went down this week, we're definitely in a looser state as far as our governor is concerned. Our governor's talking about bringing kids back to school next month. So certainly, if that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if he would be fine with the UFC participating in some sport. I guess the only thing that's left as far as Dana would be concerned, if they were to have the fight in the state of Florida, would really be if Disney would step in again and say, don't do the event. But here's the thing, man. I found it fishy from the get-go that they were stopping it last time, because Disney knew Dana White was gung-ho on having a fight. It wasn't until they got actual pressure from a state where they do a lot of business in, making movies, Disneyland, all that stuff in California. It wasn't until then that Disney stepped in and made Dana White stop. So if he's in a safer haven, if you will, of Florida, I got a feeling we're going to be having that fight here on May 9th. I don't know. I don't have any facts to this. It's just kind of putting 2 + 2 = 5 at that point. You know, all the craziness together, it seems like we're getting we're going to be in line for having that fight. Maybe down here in South Florida, you know, looking at the people that they're having, there's not a ton of South Florida fighters that they have on this card. They have Amanda Nunes, who's going to be defending her belt. She obviously trains at Coconut Creek. Josino Rosenstrike lives in and trains down here. He's going to be fighting Francis Ngannou. But it's not a bevy of people in the state of Florida. Now, will they end up moving down here and doing some training down here? Quite possibly. You know, you had Dr. Anthony Fauci this week, who was saying sports can return soon if you isolate people the right way. So it's an interesting spot right now. I just wouldn't be surprised if we're going to end up having the UFC make its triumphant return, and it's going to be happening in our state. So be on the lookout for that. As far as the card is concerned with what they got going on, here's what the buzz is. So according to Brett Okamoto, who conversed with Dana White this week, and there were a lot of verbal commitments on this, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje is going to be the headliner. And so we talked last week and we said, well, what is going to be the fallout of the lightweight division? What's going to happen with that? And apparently Khabib Nurmagomedov made it clear that he wants to return in September, which would put Tony Ferguson in limbo for what? How long are we talking? That's 5 months. If he's able, I guess 4 months, if he's able to train, you know, he's a crazy person. He made weight this week without, you know, without needing to. So Tony versus Gaethje is going to go down for the interim title. I don't know where that leaves Conor McGregor. That's the big wild card in all this, who is, again, continued, you know, being a big, you know, forefront in Ireland for COVID-19 and all that stuff and getting people to stay home. I don't know where this puts Conor McGregor as far as he's concerned. If anything, I think the thing that would be interesting about it is, does that open up the door again? If Conor can't fight Justin Gaethje or Tony Ferguson, does that open the door for Conor to fight Jorge Masvidal? I do think that opens that a crack, which would obviously set the welterweight division into a little bit of chaos because Masvidal and Usman, they're supposed to fight. I know I've been talking until I'm blue in the face that that's the fight I want. They've been promoting that fight better than anything. John Anik told us a couple weeks ago on 790 The Ticket that he thinks for sure that's going to be the July fight with Conor McGregor on the card. If that is the case, if Conor is going to be on that card and you're going to have Conor, if you're going to have Conor, Masvidal, Usman on the same card, who's the dance partner for Conor? If we're talking July, that's, you know, 3 months from now, but not under normal circumstances. So let's say everybody's allowed to train by May. If Ferguson and Gaethje, I guess, get out of it relatively healthy, I guess they could fight in July, but that's a quick turnaround, man. And first of all, Tony, you got to probably hope that Tony comes out on top on that because Gaethje's probably coming out of this pretty bloodied up, win or loss. But both those guys, like, this seems like a fight that's ripe for them to be out for a while, just because of the attrition style that they both fight in. It's an interesting question. So what does that leave Conor with at the end of the day? If Nurmagomedov's not going to fight, who's the guy? Do you do the Nate Diaz trilogy? I guess that's always a card that they could play with. You know, you put Nate Diaz on the same card as the BMF and all that stuff. And hell, maybe put him at 170 and those guys are fighting up for a title shot. It's not like I think Usman nor Masvidal wouldn't end up taking the winner of that. I think either one of them is a big fight. So maybe that's what they end up doing. If they end up fighting in July, Conor fights Nate Diaz and you do Tony Ferguson and you do Jorge Masvidal versus Kamar Usman rather. And then maybe end of the year, whoever the winners are out of that fights for the welterweight championship while Tony and Nurmagomedov end up squaring off for the real title at lightweight. Maybe that's what happens to get Conor back in some kind of a world title picture. Maybe that'll drive some people nuts, but I do think that's quite possible, assuming that he beats Nate, obviously. So they're going to do Tony versus Gaethje. That was confirmed. Henry Cejudo is going to fight Dominic Cruz. And you'll notice that these are, you know, domestic for most part, most people who can be in America and fight in America. So he's going to fight Dominic Cruz because Jose Aldo is having visa issues. So though Henry Cejudo can take on his legend and Jose Aldo, he will be taking on Dominic Cruz. Big name for Henry Cejudo. They get to keep doing that, going back and forth. I know that Cody Garbrandt and him have been going back and forth a little bit, talking about doing a potential lightweight, doing a flyweight title. That'll be interesting for Cody. You know, Cody got such a fast rise to the title, had some really epic losses to TJ Dillashaw in real firefights. So him versus Henry Cejudo would be a little bit interesting. I don't know. I don't think that matches up that great for Cody, but for right now, he's squared up with Dominic Cruz, which is an interesting fight. Because, you know, Dom's not a guy who believes in ring rust or anything like that, but he's a guy who moves around a lot, a taller bantamweight. So what does he have to deal with in the table when it comes to Henry Cejudo, his wrestling prowess, his improved striking, but definitely a little bit more statuesque with the striking. So it's an interesting fight. I'm not normally a person who's a big fan of three title cards, just because I just feel like it ends up going long into the night. But I think at this point, I'll make an exception because we're so thirsting for sports. The other bout that's going to be in this one is Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer for the featherweight title. You know, for me right now, whoever Amanda fights, she's the show. It's just kind of stacking greatness upon greatness. Her last fight wasn't fantastic against Jermaine Durand to me, so... I think that, you know, you'd probably like to see her get back to her dominant ways and stuff like that. But that's where we're at with Amanda Nunes. That's going to be on the card. This was interesting, though. I saw that Francis Ngannou, Jairzinho Rosa strike, that continues to get accepted, and they continue to put the heavyweights out on the front stage with this. Jairzinho Rosa strike said this week, let me see if I can get to see where he said it. He said that he believes it should be for the interim heavyweight title of the world. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, I kind of agree with him. I feel like Rozenstruik and Francis Ngannou, I think it's worthy of an interim title shot. And the actual heavyweight title is in such a weird spot right now because, you know, Stipe's doing his first responder thing. He's been on the mend as well. Him and Daniel are in such a weird place. And here's the other thing that I think is interesting about it. And why I think it makes sense. I don't even, maybe even Rozenstruik mentioned this, but let's say that Daniel Cormier wins and he does go out on top as champion. Let's say that he does. Well, what happens to the title? It's going to go vacant anyway. So somebody's going to have to fight for the vacant belt. I think that it's a great way to go. I think that they should do that because here's what I think. I'm not a big fan of three title fights, but at this point, why don't you just do everything title fight, you know, just, you know, do even, you know, for Pettis versus, Donald Cerrone, find some kind of, maybe do a BMF-esque kind of belt for that night for those guys. I think that would be the way I would go. Just like soup it up, all the jewelry on top of this fight, that you can find. I think that'd be kind of cool. But I do agree with Rozenstruik. I do think that it should be for an interim title. And I think the big reason is not just because it's slowed down, but I just think that, you know, with the wild card that DC beat Stipe in the trilogy, he's been saying he's gonna retire forever. And so why not put this in a position where he can fight for a title that is that may end up being the real thing, because, you know, Stipe ends up losing that fight. You know, it's not like he can't get back in the title shot right away anyway, but you'll have a new champ. I think it'll be cool. So that's where things stand right now. May 9th is reportedly what they're hoping for. Just keeps getting kicked down, but don't be surprised if that ends up being down here in the Sunshine State, because Fight Island, as we know, it's real, but it's not ready. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Very excited to be joined by my next guest. We talked to this man just under a year ago, George Ferocious Kambosos. And I was just thinking, you know, I was looking back to our last interview, man, and I was thinking to myself, man, he really nailed, because I asked you specifically in that interview, what do you want 12 months from now? And you nailed it. Like you said, I wanted to either be my next fight to be for the title or to be in a position where I can't be denied for the title. And before everything went down, like that's exactly where you are, man. You're setting yourself up with Lee Selby. You got yourself a title eliminator fight. That's got to feel pretty damn good that you set out a goal like that and you nailed it that perfectly.
Yeah, well, look, when I say things, you know what I mean, they come true. I have a very, very strong vision. I mean, I work my ass off in the gym and I leave no stone unturned. So when I told you 12 months ago that I'm going to be in this position, I'm going to be ready for, you know, fighting off for a shot at the title, you know, fighting for the title. I mean, it's going to happen. And like I'm saying to you right now, I'm going to knock Selby out in front of his own people and I'm going to get the shot at the title. I'm going to win that belt. I've got a strong vision. I've got a strong work rate. And you know, I can adapt to any situation and be ready for anybody in front of me.
So I was talking to your manager not too long ago, Peter Kahn, and he was kind of giving me the breakdown of what was going on with all of you guys. I mean, just the uncertainty that was happening. And you know, your fight was scheduled for May 9th. You were in South Florida. For those who don't know, George trains in Davie at Javier Santana's gym. And you are a world away, literally, from where you normally are. You come and you travel across the world to sharpen your skills and get ready for the biggest fights of your life and the biggest run of your career of your life. And all of this happens with COVID-19. What was going through your mind? Was your family here with you? Were they across the world? What the hell? How did you take all of that in as you are getting ready for the biggest fight of your life and the world is shutting down and the walls are going up basically across the country? How did you soak all that in, man?
Well, it was just a crazy time. Like you said, I travel all the way to the U.S. You know, I leave no stone unturned. You know, to be the best, you know, you got to be over there in the U.S. You got to have the best sparring partners, the best team, the best coaches. And I've made that sacrifice for many, many years. I mean, it costs a lot of money and I sacrificed a lot of time to be outside my comfort zone. To be the best fighter that I can be. And you can see what I'm doing right now has been evident with the sacrifice I make to be there. But it was a crazy time. You know, I had a fantastic first week with Javier, my head coach. You know, he was amazed how explosive and fast. And, you know, I was in better sharpness and speed and power and explosiveness than what I was the week before the Mickey Bay fight. You know, so that's a testament to the way I work. And when I do come back to Australia, I don't stay content and just you know laze around and do what I want. I get back to the gym and continue perfecting my craft. But yeah, it was a crazy time. After that first week, you know, flew by and we had a great week. You know, by the time we came back to the gym on Monday, man, it was chaos pretty much. You know, the gym was looking like it was going to close. They're saying that we're going to go to lockdown. And yeah, I had my family with me. You know, I had my partner with me, Rebecca. I had my two kids, Vali and Leonidas. They were there with me. You know, my kids are under the age of 3. You know, my little guy is like eight months old. So to have them with me, that was a scare factor. You know, I don't really care about myself. I knew that, you know, I mean, whatever this is, you know, I can get through this. But it's having little kids, and what happens if we go into lockdown and we're stuck here, we can't get back home, and you know, that's the scare factor. And that's what, as a father, not a fighter, as a father, that instinct comes in where you want to protect your kids. You don't worry about anything else. So that was the most important thing. And I said, look, let's get out. Just rang up, obviously, my manager, Peter, and said, look, I'm leaving, mate. This is too crazy right now. And whatever happens with the fight, it gets postponed or goes ahead. I mean, I'll deal with them. We'll deal with it as a team together.
So you say that, like, everything kind of goes into getting home and getting everybody safe, which is completely understandable. What was the process like for getting home? Because I've heard stories from some of the guys on the Heat, like Goran Dragic, like his brother, he had to go in quarantine in Slovenia. In Australia, were you able to go home and it was cool? You were allowed to just go home, or did you have to be quarantined for a little bit? Was it business as normal when you were able to finally get home? What was that whole process like?
Well, as soon as we got home, we had to be quarantined, self-quarantined for 2 weeks at our own home. So that was good, because about a week after we had landed, they changed that obviously rule where you had to be self-quarantined in a little hotel room. Now with two kids in a little room, that would have been, you know, that would have driven me mad. I'm very lucky that you know, I mean, we got to be able to self-quarantine at home, and I have a beautiful gym at home where, you know, I post a lot of my videos and on my Instagram and my Facebook, and people can see the training I do in my own house. I got a great setup, so I was training 2-3 times a day. I'm still training 2-3 times a day. You know, nothing changes for me. The date might change for the fight. Situations might happen in the world, but for me, I'm focused on that end goal, becoming world champion and winning every single fight that I have to go through. And, you know, continue perfecting my craft.
I think I heard you talk about this in an interview recently, and you talked about, I think you were talking with Tyson Pedro, and you were talking about the idea of, like, sometimes your coaches get a little bit too scientific and you guys just want to push a little bit more. So how is this like now? Because you're kind of isolated, which, you know, you're used to in boxing. It's an individual sport, but it's, you got the coach and you got the team, the whole thing. Are you pushing extra? Are you trying to temper things back? Like, how are you handling yourself individually? Because you got your beautiful gym there and you have your setup. What is that like, kind of, knowing with all the things up in the air with you basically training yourself?
Yeah, well, look, I'm a very smart fighter as well. You know, I mean, I'm here, I'm working hard. You know, I'm controlling everything. You know, I'm working very hard, but then I'm picking days where I do more recovery stuff. I go for a light jog. I change things up. And then the next day I fight, I pull myself through hell. You know, I test myself. I pull myself through things that, you know, I mean, not the average person can do. I like to test myself. And this is a time where, you know, I think fighters should be testing themselves. Athletes should be testing themselves and seeing, you know, how they adapt to, you know, when they're by themselves, when they don't have that coach pushing them. You know, excellence is lonely. I mean, that's to get to the top and to be, you know, a superior athlete. I mean, at the end of the day, it's yourself. You're doing it. So if someone's got to ring you and your coach got to ring you and say, look, you know, get off your ass and get to work, then you're not going to go very far in any sport or anything you do. But I'm controlling things. You know, I'm smart. I still keep in contact with my team and my coaches. And, you know, they're seeing what's going on, what am I doing. But they know what I'm about. They know how I work and how I train. So We've been smart, and, you know, when the time comes and everything gets back to normal, we'll be back over in Miami, and we'll be training 8 weeks prior to, obviously, the actual fight camp, and be ready for the fight against Lee Selby.
Have you gotten any updates? Like, is there any pulse of when things are going on? Because I know, just as a guy who loves the sport, I was thinking, all right, well, maybe like the everything's kind of like, it always kind of felt like, you know, boxing's got like these key dates where like it always gets kind of crazy. And when they delayed Fury versus Wilder 3, I was like, God damn, when are things going to get back to normal? So what have those communications been like, just hearing when you think it's possible that this fight could go down with Selby?
Well, they've said July 11th. You know, Eddie Hearn has pushed the fight to July 11th. So we're focused on that date. That's great. They've given me a date, and I'm 110% focused on July 11th. You know, it's about 13 weeks, 14 weeks, whatever it is. I'm already in supreme condition. I'm testing myself every day in the gym. I'm working hard. I'm working on different things. And, you know, I mean, if that's the date that goes ahead, then no problem. But again, you know, the whole world doesn't know. So, you know, I mean, I'm not 110% sure. I have a date. So that's what I'm pushing for. Hopefully, yeah, it goes ahead, because I want that as soon as possible. You know, I need that fight right now. You know, I mean, I want to take this guy out, get rid of him, and become the world number one, and then obviously, you know, move towards, you know, the fight against the winner of the Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko, if that does happen. I'm hearing things that fight might not happen. Obviously, Lopez called me out as well now, saying that if Loma doesn't take the fight, then he'll fight Kambosos. So I've already said that. Yeah, let's do it, you know, no problem.
What was your reaction to that? And what are you hearing? Like, as it seemed like that was one that fans are very excited for, and I know you have a keen eye on because of all the titles that are on the line. So, what's the rumblings out there as far as those two not having it finalized? And what was your reaction to Teofimo calling you out?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I was excited for them to fight. You know, and I wanted to, obviously, I'm going to do my business against Lee Selby, and I want to see, obviously, what they were going to do in their fight, because then I know I'm the man's road to the winner, which is all the belts. You know, I mean, I was excited for that. But again, you know, if that fight doesn't go ahead and Lopez wants to come straight to obviously fight us, like I said, no problem. I love that fight. You know, the fans love that fight. I've already put up a few little things. I've done some interviews and things have been put out there. He initially called me out. He's the one that said my name. You know, I didn't say his name. He said my name. So the champs obviously got our name on his mind. He said it a couple of times now. So, yeah, no problem. You know, I mean, we'll do it anytime, any place, anywhere. And you're the champion, so you feel comfortable. You do it on your time. And I'll just come, obviously, in that ring and take your belt. No problem.
It's such a fruitful division, George. Like, it's, you know, you've got a kind of a murderer's row of big names that all the fans want to see fight. This after this year you've gone through, you got to have the awesome fight in Greece, which you were very excited about. You know, you had a tough challenge in Mickey Bay in New York. Was, you know, do you feel yourself like now where you thought you would be as far as like confidence wise, knowing that, you know, there's a lot of big names out there? Are you a guy who feels I'm sure confident in your skill set, but like, yeah, I belong amongst all the world's best and ready to become champion?
The thing with me, you know, I've been confident since, you know, day one. From my first pro fight, you know, you could have framed me with a world champion and, you know, I would have said I'm going to beat this guy. I probably will not beat the guy in my first pro fight, but, you know, that's the fighter I am. That's the mentality I have. I mean, I know exactly who I am and how hard I work in the gym. So the time I am right now, you know, I can beat anybody in the world. I mean, I proved it against a former world champion in Mickey Bay. You know, I mean, they scored the fight a split decision, but we all know that was nowhere near a split decision. You know, I batted him around the ring and... obviously, look, you got a lot of guys in the division. It's a beautiful division. I love that. I mean, competition is key, you know what I mean? You want to be the best. I mean, you got to have that right competition. And I think the lightweight division right now in the world is on fire. You look at the names, you know, obviously you got Lomachenko with majority of the belts, and you got Lopez with that IBF belt. You know, he's calling us out. And then you got Devin Haney, who's got you can't even call that a world title. He got given that belt. But, you know, I mean, Ryan Garcia, you've got us in the mix. Javonte Davis now, another guy's been given a belt. I mean, so the lightweight division is on fire. And that's awesome. I mean, I'm the kind of fighter that wants to fight anybody. Any of these champions or former world champions that are in my way, no problem. You know, no problem. It can be Lopez, it can be Lomachenko, obviously. Selby is the main focus now, 110%. And we know what we're going to do against him. But, you know, it could be anyone. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. Javonte Davis, you know, I mean, I've been in with over 20 something world champions, you know, sparring. You know, I've done over 250 rounds with the great Manny Pacquiao. I just beat a former world champion in Mickey Bay. You're telling me that I'm worried about any world champion? No.
It's pretty crazy too how you guys are all so young. You know, like you look at upon maybe like the heavyweight division, how long it took like a guy like Deontay Wilder to get in there and you know get the shine that he probably deserved. But you guys are, you know, all in your mid-20s, early 20s, you know, still not 20 pro fights yet. And it does feel like you're all kind of knocking on the door of stardom, which is pretty awesome to see that in boxing. It's more, you know, I love mixed martial arts too. It's more of an MMA kind of style where it feels like it's coming a lot faster for you guys.
Yeah, 100%. You know, man, and, you know, the thing with social media these days, you know, I mean, that's the driving force, I think, where, you know, the fans get to interact and get to see these young fighters and see these guys coming through and get excited. I mean, there's so many young great fighters in the sport. And like I said, it's a great thing. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. And, you know, man, for me, I want to fight the best. I don't want to, you know, play around. And, you know, I mean, I've done that. You know, I mean, I had to go through certain guys and had to, you know, wait, you know, to get my opportunities and finally got an opportunity. You know, I craved a guy like Mickey Bay, a former world champion or a top, you know, a guy that was in the top 10. I craved that. I was asking, obviously, my management and my promoter, you know, please get me a guy that you know, was or is up there. I mean, I need a former world champion. I need someone like that. And finally, it's cracking now. Now I'm only fighting, you know, former world champions and world champions, you know. When I take out Lee Selby, you know, that's two former world champions in their backyards. There's no lightweight in the world that's doing that. I mean, if you look across the border, you know, no one has gone back-to-back and fought two former world champions, obviously, back-to-back in their hometown and beat them. No, I mean, that's the plan. And after that, we'll be ready straight to fight the winner of, obviously, Lomachenko or Lopez, if that does go ahead.
The judges were a little sketchy in that last one with Mickey Bay. Are you nervous about all that with Lee being another fight in somebody else's backyard? Is there any, you know, crank to pressure you're putting on yourself to not let it go to the judges or anything like that? Because, you know, I'm sure that had to be nervous hearing the whole split decision thing go down while it was going down, thinking that you thought you took care of business easily.
Yeah. Well, look, we knew what it's like. Obviously, I'm a guy that You know, I'm the overseas guy. I'm the guy trying to crack the US, trying to crack the world scene. If that fight was in Australia with Mickey Bay, the fight would have been, you know, 100-90. I mean, so at the end of the day, you're always going to have things like that in the back of your head. But I know what I'm about. I know what I bring to the table, and especially against Lee Selby. You know, this is such a big fight. The power I'm possessing, you know, I've gone to not only another level, and you can ask my head coach Javier, you know, I've gone to another 10 levels since the Mickey Bay fight, if not more. So when we do obviously get it on between me and Lee Selby, you're going to see a whole different version of Ferocious. And I'm coming for this guy. I mean, I'm not here to leave it to the judges. You know, I mean, that's boring. You know, Selby, he's a boring fighter anyway, so he's going to try running and you know, tap and try score points. You know, that's his game. It will only work for so long. I'm going to end up cutting him down, breaking him down, and look, I'm going to end up retiring the guy in front of his hometown. I know that I'm going to take this guy out. It's my destiny.
I hope that when you get back to South Florida, you know, we can do something in person, and it's not a long stretch like it was between our last two talks, but let's just do the same thing again. 12 months from now, I'm talking to George Ferocious Kambosos. What are the goals you want to knock off in a year's time?
Man, world champion, superstar, you know, worldwide, and you know, headlining big shows. Obviously, I fought at you know, MGM, and I fought at MSG. I fought in the two biggest arenas in the world, but I was undercard fights, you know, first fight of the night or not on the TV sector. I mean, so now finally I'm headlining a show. You know, I mean, I'm headlining, you know, the Zone show, Sky Sports show. I mean, it's about time, and you know, I've craved this. This is where I'm meant to be. So in 12 months' time, I'm going to be headlining these big shows, and the MSG, MGM, world champion, superstar around the world.
Before we get you out of here, are you binging anything good on television within the quarantine? Anything? Have you caught Tiger King? Are you doing Ozark, Game of Thrones? Like, what are you watching entertainment wise to keep yourself sane between workouts?
Look, I've got two kids, so they keep me pretty busy. So between the workouts and the two kids, that's pretty busy. But we are getting a little bit of Tiger King. Me and my partner, we're watching Tiger King, and obviously that's
nuts.
We're on episode 4 or 5 now. It's pretty nuts. So you know. Until obviously it started erupting on social media, and everyone's saying, well, look at this guy. I had no idea about this guy, Tiger King. So it's pretty cool. And obviously, I'm reading a fair bit. I'm actually reading a book, Relentless, you know, which is an amazing book, and obviously changes the way you think as an athlete. You know, so this is the time where you're trying to pick up as much as you can and do the things that you don't usually do. You've got a little bit extra time. I mean, these are the times where, you know, you want to learn and become an even better, you know, fighter and or athlete.
George, thanks for the time, man. Nothing but health and safety to your family. Hope we get to see you in July. We're looking forward to it, man. And thanks for spending some time with us. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Appreciate you having me on.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Fighters Fury here on 7-Eye Ticket. Thanks again to George Ferocious Kambosos for joining us here on the show. Enjoy our conversation with him. And I do mean that when he gets back to South Florida. I hope we can do another sit down in person when that thing is all possible. But really appreciate him making time for us this week, especially with the time difference. He knew it better than I did. He's like, I remember when I was booking that interview this week, he was talking about so what do you want to, what, you know, I was like, oh, let's do it. Like I was texting him on Tuesday. I was like, oh, we could do it either tomorrow or Thursday. Thinking to myself, well, actually Thursday's gonna be Friday for him. It's very weird. It's Australia, man. They're way ahead of us. So I'm looking forward to, like, as I was talking about with him in that division is so cooking right now as far as just the young names. And I know he mentions that, like, oh, Devin Haney was given a belt, which he was. I mean, Devin Haney was given a belt, was taking a belt away, all that type of stuff. But you think about Devin Haney, you think about Ryan Garcia, Gervonta Davis, you talk about George Kambosos, Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko fighting each other. You think about that, like, how often do you have a division where you got like seven guys where the fan is really jonesing for them all to kind of get it on, you know? Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. We talked to Devin Haney at the Super Bowl. He's really gung-ho about making that happen, but he doesn't think that Golden Boy will be a part of that. I'd say, you know, the only thing that's a bit of a bummer for it is while the majority of them are under the, I guess, ESPN brand, you would say. They are kind of all repped by different people, so it's a little bit tough. You know, you have this Teofimo Lopez and Vasily Lomachenko. Hopefully it gets finalized, and those guys are on the same side of the track. It wouldn't be an issue for George to get that fight done with them, as he's repped by Lou DiBella, who's kind of like independent of all the nonsense. This fight, him and Lee Selby are going to be is going to be on DAZN headlining, which will be cool. But they can make that all happen. But like, you know, Gervonta's repped by like Mayweather Promotions. They do a lot of Showtime business. Ryan Garcia, also a DAZN guy, Golden Boy. So you can make that happen. Same with Devin Haney. So like, they really could make these fights happen. But I was talking about this last week. You know, I want a situation where boxing doesn't go by the wayside and think like, oh, we got time to make this all happen. Now, the one thing that's interesting with these guys, these guys actually do have time, because they're all in their 20s. Some of them are in their very early 20s. Devin Haney, 21. Ryan Garcia, 21. What's Gervonta? Gervonta is now 24, I think, is Gervonta Davis. George is only 26. You know what the funny thing is that Teofimo Lopez is 21. I think Vasily is 32. He just turned 32, and he's the elder statesman. Like, he's the old guy in all this. But I would say this, you know, it's not only funny about the age thing, but the funny thing is you just look at their pro careers, and they're all like, you know, it's all like 14-1, 18-0, 12-0, you know, 13-0, 19. Like, they're not, a lot of these guys don't even have 20 pro fights. And so as I was explaining to George, I'm like, it's kind of a weird thing that in boxing you have all you guys at this high, high level, and y'all don't really have that many fights. It's not nothing. I mean, they've still stacked it up and put the time in. Don't get me wrong, but it's pretty incredible to see that these guys aren't like scrounging along, and a lot of them are knocking off and beating into their 30s to get to this point. And like, even you look at a guy like Lomachenko, you know, Lomachenko's only got 15 pro fights, you know, got to fight for a title in his second one. You know, so he's been on the scene for a while, even though it hasn't been that long professionally. So it's a really, really cool division, I would say. You know, if you're talking about the young up and comers, you know, you kind of always put it at like lightweight, welterweight, middleweight, and then it kind of just, you know, some people like light heavyweight, but it kind of goes middleweight to then pretty much to heavyweight, you know. But those are like kind of the rule. I know there's a gazillion weight classes, and some junior welterweights are great, and that's why they do all that stuff. But like, you know, you talk about the pure spots, the 135s, the 147s, the 160s, 175, and then of course the heavyweight. Man, 135 is a banging division right now, man. It's really, really good. These guys are absolutely it's absolutely fantastic. So you think about what these guys have to do with as far as their titles are concerned. Just very, very impressive that they're able to get to this type of level at this type of age. Now, this is the big question, though, with boxing, is will they get all these guys in there? You know, will this be a case where Ryan will actually fight Devin Haney? It seems like we're on the goal line of Lopez taking on Lomachenko. Kambosos getting the winner of that, so that seems like the right moves there. Gervonta, can he get in the mix there? You know, I know that George calls his belt gifted. Either way, he's very, very popular, and I think can be a big rise for all these guys. And that stuff's important, man. That's just dynamite to see. Speaking of Bob Arum, he is also contacting Vince McMahon this week. I told you about the UFC earlier on in the show. Bob also did some calls and is trying to stage some shows, I guess, at the WWE Performance Center. So, you know, something to go on with their ESPN deal. It does feel like the combat sports is going to be the first window into a lot of competitive athletics going on again. So that'll be interesting to kind of follow. as far as Top Rank is concerned, as far as Bob is concerned with getting. But you just think about like the personalities that are here. You have like Bob Arum, Vince McMahon, Dana White, these three like promoters, guys who can run off at the mouth. All that type of stuff, and they're all kind of going into the same hub. They'll make things happen. You know, this isn't a. I think if any industry is equipped to kind of do things on the razor's edge, it be a little bit sketchy if it has to, or play color outside the light, like fighting, wrestling, boxing. This is where this stuff is made of, and that's why it's a little bit weird when they get held up by something like Disney, where it's like, oh. Oh yeah, even these guys have bosses that they have to listen to at that point. So I don't know, man. Again, we're all thirsty for sports. We just want the stuff to be done safe and done in the right way. You want these guys taken care of, especially with how much difficulty there is training. You know, not everybody has the abilities like Kambosos does to have a gym at their own home. You know, I saw this week, guys hitting mitts in there with their trainers because they miss them so much. Hitting mitts with masks on, all this type of stuff to try and just get some kind of action to get back into the fold of things. But it's tough. It has been tough and a tough go for those guys. So this could be an interesting time. Interesting time, especially to see what the Florida domino is for everything coming together. We'll keep you posted on it. Thanks again to George for joining the show. Hopefully, we can continue to bring you guys some interviews this week and in the coming weeks to keep you thirsted up. He was fantastic this week, and hope to keep that stuff up for you guys. Everybody, stay safe out there. You know, we'll keep following the stories. This has been one of the sports where it just feels like there's another turn. You think it's kind of gotten to the end of the story and. Just not the case. Just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. So that's it for us today. You missed the show, download the podcast, radio.com app. You want to listen to the ticket at any time, download the radio.com app. You could rewind. You got access to all our podcasts there. Just look up 790 The Ticket, look up Fighters Fury, subscribe and check us out there. Subscribe to Tobin and Leroy. Subscribe on YouTube. Look up Tobin Show on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. You guys will get a lot of cool local stuff there as well. And trying to think, am I forgetting anything else? That's about it. We got a cool NFL draft week this week, so be listening tomorrow morning 6 to 10 a.m. as we enter into NFL draft week with myself, Leroy, Robbie the Degenerate. We're looking forward to a fun week for everybody. Stay safe out there, and all the best. Back with you guys next Sunday, and stay safe.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.